Yes, we are salt and we are the light. We've come to break all the powers of night, and by the love of God, proclaim His liberty. We're ambassadors of grace. In His name we take this place. Lord, let Your will be done. Let Your kingdom come. Let Your kingdom come, Lord.
A very good morning to you, ladies and gentlemen. It's 2 minutes after 10 o'clock in the morning here at Q95 FM. It's a wonderful Friday morning. I'm glad to be alive, and I hope you are too.
Sing your praises.
Good morning to you if you're listening to us on your FM dial. Good morning if you're listening to us via the internet anywhere and everywhere in the world. Good morning to us if you're listening to us via NBR Grace FM in Anguilla, St. Martin, Ceiba. A very good morning to you and welcome aboard Kingdom Connection for yet another Friday morning. Every one of you today who may be celebrating, I trust that you will have a wonderful birthday today or anniversary, whatever it is. Welcome aboard a very wonderful Kingdom Connection today. I know you're going to like it. Stay tuned, all right? Because I tell you something, everything is going to be fantastic today. I'm sure about that.
That contains 100% vitamin C. Drink in the refreshing bright taste you can enjoy any time of day.
Drink Caribbean Cool. Enjoy the Caribbean.
With Caribbean Cool.
Caribbean Cool is distributed by AC Schillingford and Company and available at all wholesalers and retailers island wide.
Well, an accident again, boy. Look at how I mash up the man vehicle, boy. And this time, me that involved me, boy.
Look who that come into your systems. New India Insurance Company, now offering no excess to all vehicle policy holders. Call is up moon, upani pumete lama asu tetu evek hele.
What are you going to do this time, boy?
Don't worry, the news is good at New India. Once you insured a full comprehensive or third party, you have the benefit and peace of mind of no excess from New India in the event of an accident. Why take the risk? Say hello to New India and goodbye to no excess. We all know that an accident can not only put a dent in your bumper, but also a big dent in your bank account. Well, at New India, we erase, remove, rub out, wipe out, delete the excess. So come to New India Insurance and enjoy no excess. May say no excess for you for service and confident assurance in vehicle insurance in Dominica. Come to New India Insurance. Let's journey together. Call or come to our office. Upstairs AC Schillingford. Call 448-4023 or call 448-2481 for more coverage details. No excess from New India Insurance.
Boy, I'm with a Mokule cause Sandolia Super Effect New India. Messia, no excess.
Terms and conditions apply.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Again, this morning it's a wonderful morning. It's a great day, and I wanted to shout out some very special people this morning, and I want you to shout them out with me. First and foremost, I want to shout out my uncle who's celebrating his 70th birthday today. Uncle Peterson, you've gone through 310 And anybody who's gone 3 score and 10 has batted well. You haven't scored 300 like Lara, and I'm sure you, at 3 score and 10, you're almost like Lara. Congratulations and happy birthday to you, my friend. I hope you have a great day today. I hope your wife takes very good care of you today, and you'll have a fantastic day. And I'm saying that as well to you on behalf of my favorite cousin all the way up there in Columbus, Georgia. Lynn, I'm wishing your daddy a very happy Father's Day. I hope you in Columbus, Georgia, you're having a very great day yourself and your son and all the rest of you. I know on a birthday like today, you would have loved me to do something special for your dad. And guess what? I chose a very special song for him. And I'm letting him know now that is just for him, all right? Hezekiah Walker, as he sings, God Favored Me.
This is my testimony, everybody. How God favored me in spite of my enemies. And if God did it for me, he'll do the same thing for you. Don't worry about your haters. Your haters can't do nothing with you. Listen to these words.
Love is patient, caring. Love is kind.
Love is felt most.
Love is felt most when it's genuine.
I had my share of love abuse. Manipulated. And his strength,
misused.
And I can't help but to give God glory. When I think about my story, oh yeah, y'all, I got a story to tell. And I know you favored me because my enemies. They did try, but they couldn't triumph over me. Yes, they did try, but it didn't work. I'm still here. I'm still alive. I'm still blessed. On my way to my destiny, because the favor of God is on my life. Let me tell you about love. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is felt most when it's genuine. I had a whole lot of people in my life who abused my love. They manipulated it.
And every one of you celebrating today, or maybe you're not celebrating, but you just want to celebrate the day, just the day. Guess what? That song is for you, man. God favored you. That's why you're here. You're on both feet. You're walking. You're breathing. And you're in the best of health. Come on. You need to lift your hands, man, and give God a good praise today, because he really deserves it.
I don't know about you, but I know that he favored me because my enemies. They did try. Sing it, y'all. But they couldn't triumph over me. Because great is he that is in me than he that's in the world. That's what they did. That's what they did. They told a whole lot of lies. But God favored me.
My character.
My integrity.
My faith in God. He favors me.
But it would not fall.
I speak life and prosperity to you, my friend. You will do good. It's another good day for you, and you're going to do fantastic.
They conspired against me. They told a whole lot of lies on me. But God favored me. My character.
And I speak health.
They whisper.
You know, I want to just touch one more person, you know, along with you as well, my uncle, my adopted daughter in Antigua. You're listening. Good morning, darling, and happy birthday to you, Michelle. I trust that you're having a very, very good day today. Guess what? This song is also for you. This one right here is also for you. Sinak. I know who I am. Yeah, Uncle Peterson, you can do old gospel mission dance on that one. Ardent listeners to Kingdom Connection, come on, you can dance a jig, lift your hands and give God thanks today. If you know who you are and if you know that you are in the place where God wants you to be, it's all right, man. You are chosen, selected, and you can raise your hands for that. Everybody sing. Oh, I know who I am. Come on, lift your voice. Why are you singing Z or Y? Sing. Oh, oh, I know who I am. Come on, those of you singing M, join me. Oh, 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 I know who I am. Show them. Take a look at me. I'm a wonder.
Doesn't matter what you see now. Can you see his glory? And I know who I am.
Take a look.
I'm a wonder.
Oh, you can do it on Queens, like you see now. In Dominica.
Can you see his glory? I know who I am. I'm a wonder. It doesn't matter what you see now. Can you see his glory? I know who I am.
Ah, yes, that's for all of you, man, if you can sing that. I know who I am. And if you know who you are, you know, then you'll stay tuned, locked into Kingdom Connection today, you understand? And you can go about your day having a fantastic time because you know who you are. You don't have to wonder who you are. You don't have to beg somebody to tell you who you are. You just know who you are. Hallelujah.
In the leaves of the trees, the Spirit of the Lord has come down on the earth. The church that seems to slumber has now risen from its knees, and dry bones are responding to the fruits of new birth. And this is now a time for declaration. The words will go to all men everywhere. The church is here for the healing of the nation. Before the day of Jesus draws near, will be the pen of a ready writer, and what the Father gives to me I'll speak. I only want to be bread. I only want to glorify the King.
Ladies and gentlemen, for Talking Points commentary this morning, I, at the risk of sounding like a stock record, I want to say something to you that I've said before, but I've promised myself that I will say it to you as often as possible, so that both those of you who hear and those of you who will transfer the message to those who don't hear will get the message soundly. I want you to be aware that we're living in a time and an age where everybody wants you to believe their story, even if they know that their story is wrong. We're living at a time where everybody wants to win your heart. And the intention for them winning your heart is not for you, but it's for them. We're living at a time where it seemed to be that the maxim, the survival of the fittest, is even taking greater proportions today. So that it seems very, 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 very clearly that everyone around you seemed to be fighting for himself, but using you to get to where he wants to get. And that everyone includes institutions, includes organizations, includes individuals. And my advice to you is to take time off to get the best information possible before you commit yourself to doing something that you will regret later on. Take time to consider the documents from the bank. Take time to read the documents from the insurance companies. Take time to read your bill and your invoice from the companies that whom you do business with. Take time to parse, according to my grandfather, and analyze that which your politicians tell you. Take time to ensure that underneath everything that is transferred or related to you, you know what is the truth before you act. There are too many things happening today now. And it seems as though the rich, the famous, and the smartest, they take advantage of the poor. They take advantage of the underprivileged. They take advantage of the unsuspecting. And I ask you, do not listen to garbage until you ensure that that is where you want to go. You know, if you want to go to garbage, that's a decision that you must make. But even then, you must make it intelligently. And so I ask of you, every one of you listeners to Kingdom Connection, every one of you listeners to any program that we may have, understand that your responsibility is to ensure that whatever you cause to be deposited in your spirit is something that you are deliberately deciding to do. Don't fall victim to the rumor mill, to that which is happening around you, until you are sure about it. Too many of us are falling victims to that. Too many of us only see that the interest that we're paying is more than we can afford, but we see that too late. Too many of us are getting involved in some things that really causes us pain, but we find out much too late. Your talking points today is be aware of where you are and where you want to go.
A church that seems to slumber has no reason from its knees, and dry bones are responding to the fruits of new birth. And this is now a time for declaration. The words will go to all men everywhere. The church is here for the healing of the nation. Before the day of Jesus draws near, my tongue will be the pen of a ready writer. And what the Father gives to me, I'll speak. I only want to be great. I only want to glorify the King. And all around the world, the body waits expectantly. The promise of the Father is not ready to fall. The watchman at the tower now exhorts us to prepare. And the church responds to people who will answer the call. And this is not a phase that is passing. It's the sign of an age that is to come. Oh, where are the wise men and the scoffers? Before the face of Jesus, they are dumb. My tongue will be the pen of a ready writer, and what the Father gives to me, I'll speak. I only want to be bread. I only want to glorify the King. A body now prepared by God and ready for war. The prompting of the Spirit is the word of command. We rise up.
Ladies and gentlemen, we started a discussion last week, or in fact a few weeks ago, and we're going to go right back to it. Of course, I have with me, and you must be wondering, I have with me in the studio Pastors Jack and Matthew, and they are both here to help me with the discussion that we're going to have. Good morning, gentlemen. Good morning to you.
A very good morning to you. How are you?
I'm on top of the world looking down at creation.
You sound like that this morning.
I had fantastic breakfast. I expect that sometime today.
God bless you, Junie.
The Lord will give me some lunch via my sweet wife.
I know that.
And if I have two meals for the day, I will be the best man alive.
Hallelujah. Bless you, Junie. Bless you.
How about you, Matthew?
Well, you know, I just think, you say if you have two meals for the day,
he doesn't
I think that's tithing with the Bible. It says the weight of a man's heart is his belly.
That's all right. The Bible is always right, you know, Matthew. The Bible is always right. If my wife gives me two meals for the day and she decides not to give me the third one.
You're not a greedy man.
Thank you, Jesus.
You're a wonderful man.
Amen.
Bless you.
Well, special good morning to those of you listening. Let me just say good morning to all of you all across Dominica, by extension, the Caribbean and the world, of course. Want to say special good morning to you. It's always a joy to be here on a Friday morning. We hope that we continue to have a great discussion.
Matthew, somebody wants to tell you good morning. Good morning. You're on the line. You're connected.
Good morning to all the pastors.
Good morning.
Especially to my friend, Pastor Randy Rodney.
Very good morning to you, my darling.
Pastor Randy Rodney, I know the Lord will give Judy lunch to give you and you will gain.
Thank you.
For sure you will have that.
Yes.
And the Lord will always give you.
You hear?
I believe
have
that.
Have a nice day.
Thank
have
you.
A nice weekend.
You as well. And have a great weekend yourself. Jack,
yes,
we're talking about sowing and reaping. Let's get to sowing and reaping. You're having a fantastic time this morning.
Okay, yes, I am. I hope that all of you out there, no matter what the situation is. A lady in Daily Swan said to me at a conference, I think it's Easter conference, she stood up to testify. And she said, for the longest while, she has been a Christian. And one of the things that she has noticed quite often in the Bible is it came to pass. And I listened to her and she made great sense. And from that on, I do not let any negativity control my life, because when it comes, it comes to pass. So today, no matter what you're facing, it shall come. Even that shall come to pass. And on the other hand, those of you, I am responding to a text from someone. I appreciate that and couldn't have time to respond to you on air, but let me do that today. If for any reason we got confused, or you got confused by a comment that nobody pays for the sin, let me repeat. Man never gets away with sin. We are only here free from sin because Jesus paid for sin. Not that we got away with it. Somebody must always pay for it. Because the word declared the wages of sin is death, and God did not take that back. The difference is Jesus paid for sin, and those of us who put our faith in him, we are declared righteous, justified as though we had never sinned. But we didn't get away with sin. Somebody paid for sin. So this is what we want to say. Also, I want to clarify the point that judgment for sin is not the only seed we should be thinking about that once you sin in the negative. When the Bible says, whatsoever a man soweth, is whatsoever. So it means that includes good seed. So if you sow good seed, you will reap good. We must not always quote that in the negative and make it sort of some judgmental and so that God is going to execute and God is watching over us to make sure. God has nothing to do with that. There are certain things that we reap. Let's put it that way. If you pour water and you get wet, that is a direct result of what water does. If you stand in the sun for a little while, you feel hot. That is just that nothing to do with God. So some of the things we do, we don't always have to categorize it as sin. It's just a matter of you sow, you reap. And I would ask you to not think so negatively about that scripture, because there are great people everywhere, good people everywhere doing good things. Maybe the voice of evil is louder and negativity takes waves much quicker. But there are good seeds being sown today. Make it your good deed day and sow a good seed that you may not reap tomorrow, Saturday or Sunday, but you will reap it. So let us think of it more in the terms of whatsoever. And the whatsoever, if I were you, I would take my what to be a good what, not the negative way.
Pastor Jack, I'm glad that you use that, because it was my intention to read a verse of scripture from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, mm-hmm. and help us tie together with the whatsoever, mm-hmm. because in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, it is certainly not talking about the negative seed, and I want Matthew to as well weighing on that shortly. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6 is a passage of scripture that we use when we're raising offerings, right? Mm-hmm. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 6, and I want to read from the Amplified Version. The Bible says, remember this, he who sows sparingly and grudgingly, mm-hmm. will also reap sparingly and grudgingly. Mm-hmm. And he who sows generously, that blessings may come to someone, will also reap generously,
right.
and with blessings. Now, we've been talking about sowing and reaping, and we have established, I believe, the fact that the sower, in the context of the scripture, is also the reaper, mm-hmm. right? The sower is the reaper. The sower will reap what he sows or mm-hmm. she sows. In that particular case, there's a context of sowing positively and reaping positively compared to grudgingly sparingly and grudgingly. Matthew, let us seem to put that in context, coming from what Jack has just mentioned in terms of the whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap.
Well, I think when you think about it, really, you know, a lot of the times, and he's correct there, a lot of times what we do is we weigh in so much on the negative aspect of sowing and reaping, and we don't really see the positive aspect as that comes out of it, that we're supposed to be literally sowing positive things. In mm-hmm. fact, there's the tendency for us to look at the person's reaping what they sow as momentary treasures, mm-hmm. and really the scripture is not, you know, the scripture is very, very clear, those things ought not to be quote unquote momentary treasures. In fact, what you sow, there is the expectation here that once something finds soil, once something finds a ground to go in, it is going to bring something out. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, somebody said, well, yeah, but sometimes when we look agricultural, it doesn't always happen. Yes, it does. I'll tell you why it does. Because one of my maths teacher, you know, I remember, I never forget that. I remember one time, in teaching the whole balancing of equations, because that sometimes can be a very difficult thing, you know, when you were the balancing equation. He says, look at my hands. He says, do I have something? And I said, no. He says, but in maths, you don't say no. You have to say it like it is. You have to say, I have nothing. No. And then he takes something else and he puts it in his hand. He says, do I have something? I say, yes, you have something. Okay. So he says, I have something in this hand. And in this hand, I have also nothing.
So nothing is.
So nothing is something. It is just that nothing is what you have that is showing the negative aspect of what you don't have. No. I know I might have turned everybody thinking, what on earth is he talking about? But really, in maths, that's really what you think of. And in English, it's the very same thing. That's what you say it in English. You say, I have nothing, but that's something like positive. I have is positive, isn't it? Mm-hmm. So it's the very same thing, too, for those of you. If you begin to sow negative thing in your life, you will have. No. I want people to understand this, because this is important. If you sow anger and hatred, animosity, and jealous, if you sow any of these things, and the list can go on, you can begin to put the things in the equation. Mm-hmm. You will reap. It will be positive. You will get it. There's a, the negative influence is what you will get, because you will get nothing that is positive because you sow nothing that was positive.
Let us contextualize that, because mm-hmm. I want people to understand what you're saying, which is very deep in my view. If you sow a negative, positively you will reap.
Positive you'll reap.
Negative but you things. Will reap what you sow, what you which is right. negative things.
Exactly.
And what I would love the audience so to that's, understand.
So, and so Jesus is correct. Whatever man sow, he is going to reap.
And let's take every word in the text. Ladies and gentlemen, that has nothing to, I hate to defend the devil, but that has nothing to do with the devil, neither to do with God. Whatsoever a man, you as an individual, take direct responsibility for whatever you do. Don't put too much religious weight on that and try to put scripture into that. It's a statement. And you don't have to be saved or lost for you to reap the consequences of your actions. Some of them have nothing to do with Christianity. Because what are you saying? Every man that is not in a church and performs an act does not reap. If he does good, I'm going to tell you something I read in the Bible, and pastors help me. He said, whatsoever a man does, he gets the same, whether he be bound or free. So he does, it's just any individual. So advice to you, I want to make quote that scripture here again, Pastor Randy, in Psalm 126. And I want to make this statement before. The pain of doing good can hinder you from sowing good seed. You don't want to take the rain, you don't want to cut the grass, you don't want to dig the soil, because you feel the pain of doing good. Sometimes it sounds easier to do evil. But I like the psalmist. He said, those who sow in tears shall reap with shouts of joy. He who goes out weeping, bearing the seed is important, not the process of sowing, bearing the precious seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, bringing his sheaves with him. And this is where our society go wrong. It is easy to do evil. So the pain of sowing and cultivating, we don't want all that. We do this and we get that. But in the long term, bad seed always bring bad fruit.
I want to extend this, gentlemen, to the from the individual to the organization or even the nation. And Jack, I know what cap you wear. I know what passport you have.
Yes,
I know.
And so
I have more than one.
I am going to make that statement, knowing very well that it might not sit very well with you because of your dual citizenship status. Now, a few years ago, sometime in the late 70s, the United States of America made it their business to put in developmental funds into the Caribbean basin, into a lot of the countries in certain areas. At one point, they were not putting so much money in the East. They were putting a lot of money in the Caribbean. And in hindsight, and those of you historians who are listening to me, I'm sure will verify that. The reason they were putting the money with a particular intention. And the intention was to ensure, from their perspective, that what was then classified as communism would not take over the Caribbean region. We will remember vividly the invasion of Grenada. And we will also know that soon after the dismantling, if you like, of the Grenada Revolution, And that movement, guess what? The amount of funds that was allocated to the Caribbean basin was now shifted elsewhere. Now, my limited study of what's happening in terms of the investment, so to speak, or the seed sowing that America has been doing all over the world, my limited study of that seemed to be showing me that they are reaping what they sowed. Osama bin Laden, for example. Okay? My understanding is Osama bin Laden is a seed of the U.S. government.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Osama bin Laden became the greatest antagonist of the U.S. government. In Panama and Central America, with Daniel Ortega and the rest of these people, in the initial stages, there was a certain funding from the American government. What happened? They sowed something and reaped the intentions for which they sow. And I want people to understand that that's now on a very national level. I want people to understand now, the U.S., for example, is cutting back. I'm using the U.S. I'm using the U.S., Pastor Jack.
I'm also Dominican.
The U.S. is now cutting down on food stamps.
Yes.
Because the U.S. is now beginning to understand that when you create mendicancy, you mess up the economy.
Right.
The U.S. is beginning to understand that. So they're reducing on food stamps. They are now wising up in terms of what they do in terms of giving people stuff.
Right.
Because it seemed as though, it seems now, in fact, it is they have empirical evidence to show that the more you give people stuff is the more dependent they become.
So they have added the empowerment of the people. They just did not eradicate the help. But there is a limited period of time with which you can get that support. And if there is possibility for you to work, if you can work, I think the U.S. has been a little biblical there. If you can work, you should work.
Right. But what they are beginning to understand now, as far as I read it, is you're going to reap what you sow.
You sow laziness, you reap that.
You reap laziness. So the influx of people who are going into the U.S. from all over the world and who are doing better than Native American people is becoming phenomenal.
Right.
Hence, they are now realizing we're going to destroy a country if we don't do something about that.
Right.
And people must understand that when we say that the sowing and reaping is a law, that is a natural but eternal law.
Right.
That same law is true for individuals, for entities, for governments, for nations. Those of you who are in business in Dominica, some of your businesses are struggling because you don't sow a thing.
That's right.
Okay? And you sow into good time and CO. Guess what you're going to reap? Good time and CO. Whatever CO and good time. I went to a particular, and folks, I know I'm going to get blues for that, but that's fine. I'm accustomed to that. I went to a particular business, and we presented a project for the development of youth, but it was a faith-based project.
Right.
But because it was a faith-based project, they said, no, we're not doing that, because it's a faith-based project.
Right.
But they use so much more money than what you were asking to do so many other things, and then you turn around and reap what you sow. Remember, if you are business, you also will reap what you sow. It's not just your marketing that's going to cause business to come back. It's also what you sow. Mm-hmm. You sow division, you're going to reap division. You sow anything that's into things that will engender crime and violence, guess what you're going to get? You're going to reap that as well. And everybody, and I want people to understand that it's not just a pastor's thing or a church people thing. It's a natural law that goes across the board. So guess what? It will do you good to sow good seeds, gentlemen.
I really, really appreciate you broadening the discussion to that level. And because in your introduction, which I complimented you for, that you had set a base saying it's an international principle. It doesn't matter whether it's the U.S. who does it, or the French, or whoever, whatever nation that involves in negative action, they expect to reap that.
Jack, let me cut you. Edward Snowden is a product of what America sows.
Right.
And people must know that. People must understand that this doesn't just come from someone fall down. When you begin to enact certain laws that says you have a right to my cell phone records,
right,
and to my email records, and you have a right to my privacy. Well, once you have a right to my privacy, someone else is going to have entitlement to it. And if you have a right to it, what doesn't give anybody else a right to it?
And you must understand, everybody has privacy, but when it comes down to your yard, you put up your fences.
Exactly.
So this is where we don't understand. When you bend the rules of morality or whatever it is that you do in society, the consequences were already established by the creator and the master of the universe. He does not waive. There's no waiver. It's not custom duty that you can have a custom officer not to let you pay. He has already established his rule, and he cannot be accused for lying. He's not a man, he can lie. He said, these are the consequences of your action, and no matter how, where, and when you do it, that's what it is. So do not overlay the discussion or override the religious concept and be afraid. It's an international law. You sow negativity, you'll reap it. I want to make one point. Sir, you may not be able to trace the seed, but just pay attention to the fruit. In that fruit, it will remind you of the very seed that you sow.
You know, it's interesting. I'm listening to the how much the discussion is broadening, and it's broadening by the second as we go, because I'm thinking, my mind is clicking. I'm clicking really fast there too, you know, and I'm thinking, because right now I see we've taken the discussion down the line to boundaries. No. And that is, to me, that is very, very, very interesting and very deep, because you could have all the good seeds you have, and ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, wherever you are listening this morning, you know, whatever it is that you are sowing, have sown, or is about to sow, the thing is, as good as the seed is and as good as the soil is, if you take that seed and you sow it on the other side of the fence and it begin to produce, then you know that when that thing begin to produce, the fruit is not yours. Mm-hmm. And the fruit is not, because you have sown in another man's place, in another man's boundary, because you cross the fence. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what I'm hearing, we're saying here this morning, that there are boundary lines in relation to how we do things and where we do. Because if you begin to sow a certain level of a mentality of poverty, you know, if you begin to sow a level of poverty, mentality of poverty in the minds of people, then sooner or later, when poverty begins to reap, I'll tell you this, it will reap where you sow it and away from where you sow it, because I'll tell you this, everywhere that seed falls, it is going to produce it. And that is a major, major problem. And people need to understand this, that, you know, performance is never linked with love. Mm-hmm. And that's why we, if you look at children, I mean, no, I'm telling you, I got to go back along that road again. Performance is not linked with love. Neither is failure linked with a lack of love. Mm-mm. You know, because a lot of people think, you know, if I just give my children all the things they ask for, then they will later say it's because daddy loved them. That is not true. Mm-mm. At all. Mm-mm. Because sooner or later they begin to realize as some of the sicknesses and the diseases and the infirmities that there are seem to be surrounded upon their lives is because of what daddy allowed them to eat and to do that he should have said no to. And let me tell you something. I'm saying this to say that our country will begin to reap some things if we are not very careful as to what we sow in. And the boundary line is spreading a lot.
Mm-hmm. It is.
I want to say something, but let me take this caller. Good morning, caller. You're connected.
Good morning, Pastor.
Yes, good morning.
How are you today?
Very, very well.
Okay, my brother. I can see so far you standing for the truth. May the Lord bless you.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, brother. The Bible said 666 is mark of the beast. Is it true?
Yes.
Yeah, but he said also to us, be vigilant that Satan will be coming in every form. All right?
Mm-hmm.
But watch that, brother. 316 or 18. Yeah?
Uh-huh.
Yes, and 666 is mark of the beast. Yes?
Okay.
Yes, yeah, so what I'm saying, our government stands on evil. This is why Dominica is going that way.
Well, I don't know how you make that connection there, you know.
Well, the spirit of God,
the spirit
gives that vision, sir.
The spirit that gives you that connection.
Yes, sir. Welcome. Blessed.
Okay.
You, right?
Have a good day, man.
Good. Same to you, sir.
Right. See, we have some mathematicians. You go to mathematics. Let's put this. Let's put that this way, ladies and gentlemen.
Jack is doing some analysis now.
I know Jack is with Jack. Have his calculator.
He is doing some calculations.
Yeah, I want to share this, because sometimes we take the prophet's word lightly. Let me take this call. Good morning, caller. You're connected. Wow, your radio something is too low.
The last caller made a good suggestion. That's the African brother in English.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the 18 complainants.
Yeah,
that's what he forgot to say. The 18 complainants of the case with Mr. Linton. He's on 18 once again.
Oh, okay. All right. All right.
You see why I'm still thinking, because I'm trying to make a connection with something that I'm not. Okay.
So what is he saying? 18 seats and 18 compliments. Is that what he's saying?
Three sixes are 18. I mean, you all have me there with this thing.
I was just thinking, I don't know where it is.
And now 18 compliments and what again?
And the 18th.
And the 18th. Yes. Oh, okay, all right.
All right. Now, I don't know about that. Ladies and gentlemen,
you see, I really don't.
I'm not into sorcery. I'm not into magic. I don't make assumptions and stuff. I am not into this thing. So those of you who are into this, you into it. I am not into this at all. So I can't make any connections here, gentlemen.
That's right.
And I wouldn't venture into that place. But I will say this, that many years ago, I warned us as a nation that if we made something a principle, we'll begin to reap out of the principle.
That's right.
We have made some things principle. Right now, that principle is taking us to places where we never thought would have gone. When we touted that we had made a certain diplomatic move for a certain amount of money, I had said then, be careful that we are not introducing a particular spirit over the nation at the very top level. People take this lightly, but I don't, ladies and gentlemen. I don't take things lightly when it comes to what we sow. And I want you both to know that. I said that years ago. As soon as a move was made, I said, the way I have no difficulties with changing diplomatic relations. I've said that all the time. In fact, at the time I said, it seemed to have been a prudent thing to do because of where the world was going. But I also cautioned back then, and I want people to remember that. I also cautioned back then that if and when you bring a principle into your home as a leader, to the government, to your business, be careful what that principle is going to do to you, because it's a seed that you sow. And right now we're reaping prostitution.
Mm-hmm.
Good morning, caller. You are connected. Hello.
Good morning, Pastor Rodney.
Mm-hmm. Yes, good morning.
And your assistants as well.
Good morning, sir.
I have a record by Charlton Heston. And the title on that record is The Life and the Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ. And on that record, he's talking about passages of the Bible. And there are two matters he spoke about. I'll read them to you.
Right.
Do good, hoping to get nothing in return, and your reward shall be great. And the other one is, if you do good to those from whom you hope to receive, what thanks have you? Could you elaborate on that, like an interpretation of that?
Certainly. Thank you.
Do good, hoping to get nothing in return, and your reward shall be good. If you're good to those from whom you hope to receive, what thanks have you?
I will speak about it now.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Thanks. In fact, Jesus says, right?
Motive.
Jesus made sure that he defined that. And we spoke about that when we started.
Yes, we did in our
the
first.
Intention of the sower.
Right.
We spoke about when somebody gives you a gift, you must know what the intention is.
Yes, sir.
Because if they give you with a particular intent, then guess what? They have a certain expectation. Yep. Now, understand that. Those people who do good, in fact, Jesus says, if you love those who love you, of what good is that?
An expectation always breeds condition.
That's right. So the clarity from the Gospels is that if when you're doing good, you should not be expecting anything back.
Right.
Once you're expecting something back, you're not doing good. You're paying for something that you expect to receive. Okay? when you do good out of a gracious heart, and you just do it without expectation of anything. Once you give something for something back, you're not doing good, you're doing business.
Right.
You're trading, you're into barter. I give you this, you give me that, and it's not necessarily doing good.
I'm quite aware that many people share different opinion on the fact when organizations and individuals make donations, like America, and or an individual or an organization, if their motive is not right, the result will always be not right. Because many of us, excuse me, applaud actions of individuals, countries, but underneath, not only America, there is a subtle purpose or subtle motivation, something they expect to receive. And when the result comes back, they are sometimes surprised because it was not made public. It was presented on another slit, on another front, with a different decoration. But like somebody always says, the taste is in the pudding. When you eat it, you will taste exactly the same flavor that you saw.
Let's take a break, gentlemen. We'll come right back after those advertisements.
Drink Caribbean, Caribbean cool. Enjoy the Caribbean.
With Caribbean cool.
Refreshing any time of day. Yeah. Hanging with friends or just taking a break. I reach for Caribbean cool. Oh, yeah. Juicy, healthy, great taste.
Caribbean cool is a healthy juice drink that contains 100% vitamin C. Drink in the refreshing bright taste. You can enjoy any time of day.
Drink Caribbean, Caribbean cool. Enjoy the Caribbean.
With Caribbean cool.
Caribbean Cool is distributed by AC Schillingford and Company and available at all wholesalers and retailers island wide.
Boy, and an accident again, boy. Look at how I mash up the man vehicle, boy. At least I mean that involved me, boy.
Look who that come into your assistance. New India Insurance Company, now offering no excess to all vehicle policy holders. Call is up moon, Ubani Pumete Lama Asu Tetu Evek Hele.
What are you going to do this time, boy?
Don't worry, the news is good at New India. Once you insure the full comprehensive of third party, you have the benefit and peace of mind of no excess from New India in the event of an accident. Why take the risk? Say hello to New India and goodbye to no excess. We all know that an accident can not only put a dent in your bumper, but also a big dent in your bank account. Well, at New India, we erase, remove, rub out, wipe out, delete the excess. So come to New India Insurance and enjoy no excess. May say no excess module for service and confident assurance in vehicle insurance in Dominica. Come to New India Insurance. Let's journey together. Call or come to our office. Upstairs AC Schillingford. Call 448-4023 or call 448-2481 for more coverage details. No excess from New India Insurance.
Boy, I'm with a Makule because Sandolia Super can affect New India. Mission, no excess.
Terms and conditions apply.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back here with you. We're talking sowing and reaping, and we're talking about watch what you sow. We have broadened the discussions to discussion to include organizations and institutions and nations, and because the fact is the law of sowing and reaping goes right across the board, and I want us all to understand that and know that. One of the things that I understand, gentlemen, about sowing and reaping is that, and I want our listeners to understand it, that the seed, when it's sown, when the reaping comes, you don't reap a seed, you reap a harvest. Now I want us to make some applications into that, because my understanding of that, Jack, number one, a harvest is always more than the seed. But I have also found out that to get a seed from the harvest, you have to do some searching. In other words, generally, when you sow a seed, to get a carbon copy of that seed, usually that seed is embedded in a fruit.
Mm-hmm.
You have to unsheave the fruit to get it.
That's right.
And by application, I'm saying that when a seed is sown, the fruit of that seed does not necessarily resemble the seed.
Mm-mm. That is very, 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 very important to what you're saying there. In fact, I want to also understand that what you're saying there carries so much weight, because it to me, when I think about it, I think of a cake that is well decorated, something that looks nice. But what you don't know is that embedded in that cake is cyanide. Mm-hmm. Embedded in that cake is something that's going to totally destroy you, totally annihilate you. And so as a result, we need to be very, very careful that the things that seem to be looking so nice, well packaged around us, they are set on course for destruction.
Good morning, caller. You are connected.
Good morning, Pastor Ronnie, and good morning to your panelists.
Yes.
Good morning. Yes. Along the lines of sowing seeds and reaping.
Mm-hmm.
Recently, in the last few years, I've been hearing a popular refrain in the by public officials and other responsible people.
Mm-hmm.
They are saying the poor. They say the Bible states the poor shall always be with us,
mm-hmm.
and almost in a way glorifying poverty. Whilst everybody knows that is a truism of sorts, it's not every country that are filled with poverty, and poverty is no way a blessing. And no way somebody can prove to me that poverty is a blessing. Because if you're going to pray to the Almighty Father, you'll never ask Him, please make me poor. You'll ask Him to please make me very wealthy or something along that sort. Now, the way they're glorifying poverty is almost like as if you're sowing a seed of sorts. So I really like you to maybe further give me more explanation on when the Bible said the poor
shall
always be with us. What was the intent when it was
great.
Said? Thank you very much.
Okay, good. Great. Thanks. Yes, John.
Great. I honestly feel, and the rest of you theologians up there, you don't have to text me, write me, but I am saying, reading this context, I have never found the text that we are referring to supporting the propagation of poverty or encouraging people to be poor, because those who do it do not even want to be poor. And I think generally the Bible teaches empowering people to get away from poverty. When Jesus was making that statement, he was talking about timeline. He was saying, now I am with you temporarily, but there will you have much time to deal with the poor. The poor you will always have, but I am just here in person for time period. So deal with that. It was never intended to be quoted by politicians to encourage people to be poor, because none of the politicians want to be poor. So I don't know how that was pulled out of context.
Let us
and bend it to that extent. That is not what it was saying at all. I don't want to defend Jesus, he can defend himself, but I'm going to tell you the word of God, that context here does not lend to encourage people to be beggars or to remain in poverty. That is not the text.
Let us. You said you don't want to defend Jesus. I don't have to defend him.
I don't have to.
I'm just going to declare him.
Declare him.
Here's what he says.
Right.
Matthew chapter 26. Ladies and gentlemen, that's why I always say to you that when you hear things from people,
be
and
very
I said that
careful.
In my talking points commentary today, be wary of what you hear, because some people have an intention. And when they have an intention, they twist anything to fit their fancy.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew chapter 26 and verse 8 down is the context.
That's right.
Where that phrase
That's
is.
What I wanted, the context.
Mm-hmm. Listen to it, right? Now, let me take let me start from verse 7, or verse 6, rather, for you can get the context. Here's what happens. And when Jesus was in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper,
come on,
a woman came to him having an alabaster flask of very costly fragrant oil. And she poured it on his head, and he sat at the table. That was expensive oil.
Mm-hmm. That's a whole year's wage.
A whole year's wage. She poured it on his head. But when his disciples saw it, these people who believe in material, when his disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, why this waste? I want you to hear that. Verse 8. When his disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, why this waste?
Mm-hmm.
For this fragrant oil might have been sold for much and given to the poor.
Mm-hmm.
An excuse for not doing what they should have been doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
You understand that?
Yes. Oh, definitely.
The woman is doing something that she feels that is good to do, pouring oil on her master, anointing him with the most expensive oil that she had, a whole year's wage.
And that was a prophetic thing too, right?
That's what the, right.
That was being done there.
They, in their desire to earn much, to hold much, says, this is too expensive to be doing this kind of job with it. Hear the next verse, ladies and gentlemen. Verse 10. But when Jesus was aware of it, he said to them, why do you trouble the woman? For she has done a good work for me. And here's the phrase now. You see how far down the phrase is? For you have the poor with you always.
That's right.
But me, you do not have always.
Simple. It's
very simple.
For in pouring this fragrant oil on my body, she did it for my burial.
Exactly. And she was, that's what I'm saying, it was a prophetic thing that she was anointed the body for burial. And that is something that they would have done. And the woman that, and Jesus literally said, hey guys, listen, you know, after I'm gone, those who are poor among you will be around, and you have all, you can give them as much as you
as
like.
You want.
But remember, I am only going to be with you for a few days. Just a few days again. And that's why he says, guess what? You know what? The poor is going to be among you, but I'm only here for a few days. So it's not so much to say that the poor is going to be with you every day of your life, and you're going to, you know. Well, it was
a joy to have poverty.
There is nothing in this context that glorifies poverty. Come on. Okay. If Jesus glorifies poverty, then he would have to condone laziness. And then he would have to eradicate the formula he gave for success by the sweat of your brow.
You know what the scripture says? Don't give a lazy man food.
Don't even eat with him.
Can you imagine this?
So why would... So
Jesus is not crazy for people. Jesus has... Let me put it that way.
And by the way, you know...
You caller, and every one of you who hear this, when you hear that coming out from the mouth of people, call them back and say, don't talk about my Jesus that
like
way.
That.
Because my Jesus did not say that. You're saying what you want, not what God did not say. Tell them so. Because the scripture does not say at all, and does not seem to even indicate that we must be happy because we have some poor people around us. I'll tell you something about that. The people who telling that to you, they're not poor. If they were poor, they would not want to be around you always.
Not only that, the question is historically, after that, from Luke 11, I'm looking at doing a converse of what you just read in Matthew here. You'd realize when Jesus said, the Bible said, he looked and he saw them, they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began describing the state of the people. A lot of people say, well, look at poverty. But they were so wrong, because historically, when Jesus spoke that, and the Bible says Jesus wept, John 11:35, you know, based on what he saw. It wasn't because they didn't have things to eat or because they didn't have clothes to put on, because at that specific time, these people were a very affluent bunch of people. Mm-hmm. It is because of their nakedness in terms of wanting God, the poverty of not having God. That's really what he was referring to, you know, from Luke 11, when you begin to realize it was really where they were going. They were like, they had everything, but look at them, he says, and he cried, look at them, they were moving like, no, they don't have a shepherd. They need direction in their life to take them to the place where they can begin to do things and be successful. The things that they should be successful.
Good morning, caller. You are connected.
Good morning, Pastor.
Good morning.
Thanks for taking time off from your busy schedules, that is, to come and explain and expound on certain things about God's Word.
Thank you.
That needs that clear and clarity in terms of explanation. Yeah, you see, sometimes when you read certain things in the Bible or in any book, a matter of fact, but let's keep it Bible now, because we are talking spiritual.
Right.
When certain people read certain things, they take what they mean to read literal, and with that poorness, some people basically want some people to stay in poverty, and they will show you in the Bible it is worded that the poor will always be with us. That's what Jesus said, but that is not what Jesus meant.
That's right.
And some people don't take the time off now to do the necessary research. To find out for themselves the meaning of certain words, and that is where we have a problem in this country. And brothers, I must say that you all are doing a good work on behalf of the country.
Thank you.
The end of the day, it is the truth of God's word alone that will have the lasting power and effect in this land that we so need. And before I go, one thing before I go, as it's to sow in as well, what I want to chip in as well is, sowing and reaping always have a timing. Timing is very critical. Nobody will sow in adverse conditions. They wait for a particular time to sow. And also, if the seasons are wrong, when reaping, there's also a timing as well that goes with reaping.
Mm-hmm.
So in conclusion, whatever we sow as a nation in this country, be it good or bad, in time, we will reap exactly what we sow as it relates to nation building. And brothers, mm-hmm. continue to expound on God's word, continue to bring God's word forth with clarity, and do Thank not you. Be fearful, do not be ashamed of God's word.
Thank you, sir.
For the opportunity, bro.
Good, thanks. Good morning, caller, you connected.
Hi, good morning, Pastor.
Yes.
I think Jesus calls us to be poor in spirit, which is not poor, well, poverty, but poor in spirit.
That's right.
This is extremely difficult to be. You really have to humble yourself to be poor in spirit. That's just, I take it. I think that's what he calls us to be, poor in spirit.
That's right.
You know, if more of us, including myself, would even be more poor in spirit, I think we would be much better off.
Mm-hmm. Right. Good observation. Good morning, caller. You connected.
Good morning, Pastor Rodney.
Good
morning. I'm Rosemma from Portwood. How are you?
We're doing very well, Rosemma. You doing all right?
I'm thanking God all the time. We're doing Portsmouth.
Wonderful.
I'm greeting for your presence with you.
Thank you. Yes, good morning to you too.
And the pastors with you in the house.
Good morning.
And continue to pray for this nation. Continue to educate us with the praise of reaping and sowing and everything, and keep on praying for this lovely country, Dominica, the government and the opposition leader. And remember, Dr. Paul, I heard he's home. Give him a visit when you have time, and yes. pray with him and,
yes.
and myself and my family. Love you. Bye-bye.
Love you, my dear. Goodbye. Gentlemen, this is something that I believe our people need to grab a hold of in terms of the whole principle behind this.
Right.
Right? The essence of what we're saying is, ladies and gentlemen, when you sow something now, it does not mean that you'll reap it in the same color and the same size of the seed.
Amen.
It means, for example, that if you sow rum, you will not reap rum. You will reap what rum does.
What rum, mm-hmm. Exactly, you know, the effects of rum.
And I right. want you all to understand that. So if you decide to put alcohol into your system, my dear, if you're listening, that wasn't particularly for you, but I just remembered you. If you decide to put alcohol into your system, it's not that you'll reap alcohol. You'll reap cirrhosis of the liver. You will reap crashing when you're not supposed to crash because you are under the influence of alcohol. You will reap destroying your home, your finance, your children. And I want our people to understand that nationally it is the same. Good morning on your voices line. You're connected.
Yes. Good morning, Pastor.
A very good morning.
Good morning, Pastor Jack.
Good morning. Good morning.
Yes. Good morning to you.
Yes.
Okay. Very good talking commentary points this morning.
Thank you.
Pastor Rodney, I would like to say something on reaping and sowing. Mm-hmm. Because you see that word, that topic you're on,
mm-hmm.
I believe in it very, 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 very much.
Right.
Pastor Rodney, there's a time to sow. And when we sow in, we don't matter who we sow the seed to. We just sow it. But when the time comes for us to reap, we don't reap it. We don't reap what we sow. We usually reap different things. And at the ending, some of us end up saying, "The moon kifenu
mal." Is put the put
but
to me.
We forget what we planted. We forget what we did. And when the time comes for us to reap, that is what a lot of us does end up saying.
Mm-hmm.
And good morning and bye-bye.
Thank you, my dear. You know, very important point. And I just want to say that and let you all guys comment on that. One of the things that is very often, frequently said in Dominica is people send words.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they sow words.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, when those words come back at them,
amen.
They come back to say, somebody do me,
mm-hmm.
or is put they put me. They forgot they sowed words.
Right.
Gentlemen, let me hear you.
I don't have to hear what you say about me, because the fact that you have said it, you are the first recipient of your own voice. And since it will not accomplish the purpose for which you set for example, like a Christian, I'm blessed. So no curse that you can declare can ever touch me, because the blessing that God have insulated me with, it's like a vaccine against every curse that comes from a human mouth. But that word must accomplish a purpose. So where will it go? Back to the sender. So when you open your mouth, be careful, it will come back to you.
Good morning, caller. You're connected.
Gentlemen, blessings to you all.
Okay, blessings to you as well, man. How are you doing?
I'm giving thanks. I'm there giving thanks. I pray that the Almighty have you all and family, everybody is okay.
So in good sense?
And I give him thanks. I give him thanks. I'm trying my best, sir. In my young life, I've sowed a lot of bad seeds, okay. And I'm reaping the harvest.
All right.
So, you know, me being older and wiser, at least I'm making better decisions.
That's good.
Poverty does not always be a curse. Poverty, woes to them and those who chose to use poverty, to mask themselves with a veil, pretending to be charitable when they have something more sinister underneath this veil,
mm-hmm.
to meet their objectives. So sometimes the all-seeing, the all-knowing, see what wealth will do to you, and if there is any purpose for you, keep you in your perpetual poverty.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe even you is not feeling that uncomfortable, because there might be comfort in that level of poverty. But woes to them and those who think they can make people believe when you're poor, you're nobody. So they can use your daughter, they can use your son sexually and use them as drug mules and otherwise. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it's not for us to always look at poverty as a curse. Sometimes we need to look at poverty as an instrument to maybe even prolong your life to fulfill your mission.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have saying, before you and I were born, the blueprints of our lives were deposited in the treasury of in the registry of history. So poverty can be meant to prolong your existence to do what you have to do. And the other thing, some people sow the bad seeds and they personally do not reap it. But remember, the curse of the parents shall fall upon the children. And that's why it's a malio fei. So you see, you brought a little demon into this world and you're wondering, what is happening?
You know, you missed our program last week. We dealt with that.
Yes, I missed your program. You remember, I met you downtown.
Yes.
Look, I utter in this word, the spirit of truth.
But I'll tell you something. We dealt with that very differently from a scriptural standpoint last week.
Okay.
Which is, and we'll mention that again when you get off the line.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. So most of the times people must be careful. As the Bible states, life and death is in the power of the tongue.
Ah, that's right. Good word.
And we think we can go and tell what we call petty lies, but they are little things. I don't kill nobody, I don't steal nobody things. The seed you sow of confusion and discord, you know, gossip and lies and all of that, that is as dangerous as killing somebody, because you might just mash up a relationship,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, there are far-reaching consequences in that confusion you have just created with the tongue.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I give thanks and for the wisdom, for the commitment, for the sacrifice and the contribution. Gentlemen, may the Almighty bless you all even more abundantly.
Bless you too.
Yeah, thanks. We made mention of that last week, Jack. Would you mind going over the whole question of the mothers eat grapes and the children are set on edge?
The fathers eat sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. It was a basic principle of continuous curse that was being propagated in Israel, that the people just kept on saying that whatever you do, and you can remember, let me just
Ezekiel chapter 18,
and you can remember when Jesus came and he saw a child that was blind, and he said, what did the mother and the father do? Jesus said, they didn't do anything.
You know, who sinned,
you know, they thought that was it. But what they did not read was that declaration was made and got corrected. I said, now you can no longer say that. He said, whoever does evil will reap his own evil. You cannot see is the father that will cause the children to go bad. You see, because God sees far, far, far ahead. And he knew the transforming power of the cross, of the resurrection power of God, would have given man the ability to make the necessary changes in his life. So he had that liberty.
Let me put in a question in that regard. It's one that lingered with me last week after our program, though. There are certain parents who have done some things, and as a consequence of what they did, their children are in some difficulty. Let me give you an application.
Consequences, yeah.
Right? So a father has one piece of land, and he leaves that one piece of land for his six children. That one piece of land is 10,000 square feet. They can't divide it among themselves. And his children are now in a lot of problem over that one piece of land, right? They might fight and kill each other over that. Some people will be of the view that's because of what their father did that the boy died. Throw some light on that.
When an event like this occurs, this is happening, they're happening all over the place, the Bible gives each child the power of choice. Your father left 10,000 square feet of land. You can choose to come together, do the proper legal document, sell the property, and enjoy it, each of you 10 cents each. Or you can choose to kill each other over it. You are not bound by what the error that your father made. You have that power and choice. That's what was preached. Because of something your father did, you are bound. The curse is following you. No, that was before, but now, you have the power of choice, and more so, Jesus Christ came, and he, even Paul wrote, said, have in your mind transform, have it changes. So the ability to change and to choose is available.
Yeah, it is. And in the very same way also, if you look at the example of, let's say, alcohol, a father consumes a lot of alcohol in the home. I don't like alcohol. I hate alcohol. I don't use alcohol. I don't drink alcohol at all. Yet my father used to consume a lot of alcohol while he was on the earth. So the question is, did the curse fall on me? You know, but I'm saying all that to say that, you know, the consequence, you know, of a father, you know, getting involved in a lot of alcohol in the home, the consequences of that, can the children see that? And as a result, they can decide to build their life on buying alcohol and consuming alcohol. Or you can say to yourself, you know what, my father did this thing, but I'm making the choice that I'll not do it.
But the fact that you see, one person speaks loudly to me every day. I don't always see him, but sometimes I have time to look at him, Dr. Phil. And he and his wife both come from alcoholic parents. And because of that, they don't touch alcohol. They don't drink alcohol. And I know many, many, many cases like that of people who see the consequences of negativity and they make the resolve never to get involved in it because they have seen the suffering. They have seen the fruit of it. They don't want to eat it.
I also wanted to make a statement in relation to what we were talking earlier on. When we're talking about reaping the consequences of the actions of what we sow, whether it be good or bad. And one of the things I wanted to say to those of you listening out there that in my mind is very, very important is that just like a seed that you sow, you know, or something that you planted, it is important to cut that tree down if you don't want to produce fruit before it starts producing fruit. I want to say that so you can understand that. You know, if you sow, if you in your life, you can think of right now, where, I don't know, wherever you are this morning, and you know, as a father, maybe you have children out there that you're not taking care of them. You turn your back on your children. You're not supporting them, so to speak. Whatever it is, maybe somewhere out there that there's some things that you've sown or you're sowing that you know it needs to be before that tree begin to reproduce and before fruits begin to come, it is good to cut the tree, you know. And I think for all of us, we had to come to a point in our life where we had to say, you know what, I'm going to cut down those negative influences of the things that I've sowed in my life before they begin to produce. And everybody can do that. We got to jump to our feet sometime in our life and say, you know what, it is time to stop the negativism, time to stop those negative trends that are seem to be surrounding us, enveloping us before they begin to produce. Because once they begin to produce, it becomes much more difficult. Now you have a lot more bigger branches to cut. You have a lot more greater stem to begin to deal with. So now, while the tree is planting, the seed is sown. I want to say to those of you listening out there, like I had to do, and maybe all of us here had to do, and those of you out there, some of you have had to do it, go there and cut that tree down, ensure that that tree does not produce, so that when you do in the future, you would want to reap those things that you know that are before you. I remember there was a pastor who gave a tremendous illustration, Pastor Randy, some time ago, on a lady who had, she was a backbiter and a gossiper, and she had destroyed so many people's lives. Mm-hmm. In fact, and when he came in the at the church, you know, that was still going on, and someone hinted to him, you know, that lady has been involved in this thing for all these years. And you know what he did after the sermon, when he preached the message and she came forward to ask God to forgive her? You know what he did? Mm-hmm. He took a basket. Randy, he took a basket and he placed a lot of pieces of paper in that basket. And he said to her, you know what I want you to do? I want you to go down to the village. Mm-hmm. And everybody that you have said negative things on, I want you to put a piece of paper down. And he said, when you reach the last house, I want you, while you're coming back, I want you to pick up the papers. Mm-hmm. And guess what? There were marriages that got messed up because she was a gossiper and she had destroyed lives. There were all kinds of things that she had done. And would you believe that when she had placed all these papers in all these people's homes, when she was returning back, guess what? She only found a few papers. A few papers she found, and she brought it to the pastor. And the pastor said, she said, I didn't find the rest. He said to her, you know why you didn't find the rest? Because some of these people that you've destroyed, they're now dead. Some of those people that you've destroyed, they're divorced. Some of these people you destroyed are sick in a hospital. Some of them have moved on. They've left the country. They're no longer there, because guess what? The wind take this. And when we destroy people's lives and we sow these negative seeds, we don't know that the influences of our own action, they're destroying so many things. And so it's good to step up, jump up to our feet, go there and destroy that seed before it begins to multiply.
You know, I want us to get into the place where our people can begin to think of where they are. Because, you know, Matthew, just coming from what you just said, I think it's an opportune time for those who are listening to us today to cut down those young trees coming up. It's an opportune time to make a decision to say, you know what, I have cut down people and I need to stop it. I have sown bad seeds and I need to stop sowing those bad seeds, mm-hmm. because I've just come to recognize that I'm going to reap the fruit anyway.
Right.
And when I reap the fruit, the consequences of the fruit is always greater than the size of the seed. The consequences always ripple to other things and other areas that I never thought would happen. And maybe you're in the audience today, ladies and gentlemen, and you're listening to us, and I want you to face yourself, because that's what Kingdom Connections is about. It's about facing yourself and think that you have destroyed somebody in one way or another. You have used your tongue to do it. You have used certain things to do it. And some of you have even gone ahead and gotten into sorcery and black magic and voodoo to do it. And what you did not realize was that which you do will come back to haunt you. Some of you have done it to win elections. You've done it to get loans. You've done it to buy property. You've done it to get your educational status furthered. You've done it for all kinds of reasons. Listen, we want you to know that once you sow a seed, you're going to reap the fruit. And today you want to repent. You want to cut that tree. You can do it. And this minute, I want you to pray with us. I'm going to ask Jack to pray for you. Mm-hmm. And we're going to agree with him as he prays, because we believe that you have the power within you to reverse certain things and cause other things to be planted. God said to Jeremiah that there are certain things that you need to go there and reap off, uproot. Roots. And while you uproot that, there are other things that you need to plant again.
Yep.
And wherever you are, yes. I want you to stop a minute and pray with us. Jack, would you just lead our people in prayer?
My Father, I thank you that you are a God of chances, not a second chance, of many chances. Lord, I know that your spirit is speaking to many people who are listening. I thank you that you are a God who forgives. I thank you that you transform mind. I thank you for Calvary and the resurrection power that can bring dead things back to life. I speak today to those, Father, who are about to do something drastic because they cannot. they cannot handle that which they are reaping right now. Your mercy and your grace, I plead, Lord. I ask you for your supernatural power to reach this woman, reach this man, and inspire them that there is another chance. There is your mercy. There is your love and compassion.
Yes.
That
yes.
things can just turn around for them if they would be willing to reap that which, Lord, they're willing to root out that which they have sown, the mistakes that they have made, the regrets that they have, bring remorse, Lord, bring conviction and transformation this moment. Lord, that person who is throwing the hand up in the air and saying, I don't know what to do, Lord, point this person to Calvary, where Jesus gives hope to the hopeless, gives strength to the weak, to restore those who are broken, bring back people where they have run away. Lord, you can bring them back. So today I pray in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that curses will be broken and blessings will take over, Father. People will see the result of their repentance. They will reap the fruit of repentance because they have changed their mind about the things that they have done wrong. Help them to plant a new seed that will bring them joyful harvest. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God.
Listen to this, man. Listen to this. Listen to Hezekiah Walker say that. I pray for you. You pray for me. I need you. I need you to survive. I won't harm you with words from my mouth.
With words from my mouth.
I love you. I need you to survive. Come on, call somebody else and tell them so. I pray for you. Tell them. You pray for me. I love you. I need you to survive. Come on, tell them I won't harm you with words from my mouth. I will never harm you with words from my mouth. Not again. I love you. I need you to survive.
Let's take it up, everybody.
Call somebody. Call somebody. Tell them. Tell them that you're not doing that anymore. You're cutting down this tree. You're ensuring that you plant something that is positive in their lives. I won't harm you with words from my mouth. I love you. I love you. I love you.
Let's take it up one more time. Come on, get up. Get up on your feet and say, come on, I'll pray for you. Look at somebody.
Gentlemen, we're winding down. You have 30 seconds, each of you, to say a few words before we close.
I will encourage you today to make the wrong right. Don't wait for a big negative harvest. You can turn things around by the power of God, by just trusting and calling upon Jesus. He does that.
I just want to let you know, those of you listening, wherever you are listening today, that no matter what the seeds that you may have sown in the past, if it be negative and you've truly repented and turned your back on those things, God truly will have forgiven you. And those of you who are listening also and you say, you know, I'm choosing to plant good seeds, I want to encourage you to continue doing that, because He is God and He controls the harvest. He controls the harvest, and of course He gives the potential of the seed to produce also. So I thank you. Hold on to that word and don't give up.
Hey, those of you listening, God, good morning to you, and I trust that you don't only think it's a great program, but we can all apply that in our lives. Amen. Every one of you listening today, call somebody. Maybe you sowed somebody somewhere. Be man, be woman, and call them. Say, you know what? I'm going to cut this tree down because I don't want to reap that which I have sown. Hallelujah. You are important to me. I need you to survive. This is Randy Rodney, folks. With me today was Jack and Matthew, and I thought we had a great program today, and we thank you for those of you who joined us with your phone calls as well. Until next Friday morning, of course, we bid you a blessed day today, and go out and give God His dues. God bless you.
Whoa. We hang our heads in shame. We ask who to blame for this morass of moral decay. Leadership gone true. The police in askew.
past is how we measure progress. I see they're building skyscrapers, things of stone and steel, hoarding stacks of blue paper, things that men can steal, but no one takes the time, no time to build.